Tampa Bay Rays principal owners Stu Sternberg and team president Brian Auld hosted members of the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club yesterday at Tropicana Field. Our lunchtime conversation today on Radio St. Pete is team president Brian Auld's presentation to the Tiger Bay Club. The meeting began with Tiger Bay president J.C. Pritchett.
I'm fortunate for the Rays' commitment to this community and for the person that Brian has been to our community. Only our club has a lunch meeting, game day, with the president and the owner, and food and parking. I mean, somebody must be doing a great job. There's a line that I can use after Obama took over for George W. Bush that I'm not going to use, but it's very funny. You know what I'm saying. So here is the Rays president to discuss with us why Brent Phillips is gone, gas plant redevelopment, the playoff chase. We are fortunate Brian is here with us again today. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you all for being here. It is great to see you all. Let me just say, anyone who needs a drink, more food, please follow Wenge Newton's lead and help yourself at any point. I promise you I will not find it rude. And I really am sincerely grateful to all the Rays staff who made this happen. All of you have been thanking me. I'm sure you know I did nothing. But our communication staff is back there, our IT staff. It takes a lot of people, the concessionaire, to make this all real. And so I'm really grateful to all of you. I don't know if you all can hear me, but thank you. I also want to congratulate JC on becoming the leader of this fine organization. I'm going to take my name tag off now because I know I'm supposed to for photograph purposes. Thank you, Communications Department. But I am a member, so grateful to all of you all for being here. Congratulations to JC for his new leadership, and I appreciate the direction this organization is moving in. I think it's really exciting. I'll begin by starting a little bit by telling you a little bit about who I am, and then I'll get into a little bit about how we do our business, and then I'll talk at the end a little bit about where we're going in the future. My name is Brian Auld. I am the president of the Tampa Bay Rays. We have two presidents. It's a unique thing in professional sports, but it works out really nicely. I'm also vice chairman of the Tampa Bay Rowdies. I've been with this organization now almost 18 years, going back to 2005. I came here straight from business school. My job prior to that was as a fourth grade teacher in East Palo Alto, California. I live here, and this is my home, raising three kids who go to North Shore Elementary School right up the street, where my wife is the PTA president, going on her second year, a job that has been so easy during COVID, and one that hasn't provided any family stressors whatsoever. I'm on the executive committee of the Tampa Bay Partnership. I've served on boards of both the Tampa and St. Pete Chambers over the years, continue to be on the St. Petersburg EDC. I'm a board member of Big Brothers Big Sisters and a handful of other community organizations. And so I know and appreciate what all of you also know, which is that this is we are all incredibly fortunate to live in this wonderful community. Where it's been, where it's going, and what it is today is something that I think is truly special. And that is what is most exciting about being in the role that I'm in right now. With respect to the Rays and Rowdies, we are mission driven. That has been key since 2005 when Stuart took over as our new principal owner. Our mission is to energize the community through the magic of Rays baseball and Rowdy soccer. And we do believe that we make magic. We also believe that the key to fulfilling that mission is to focus in three areas. Number one, we've got to be an outstanding corporate citizen. Number two, we have to provide a world-class fan experience. And number three, we have to win a lot of baseball and soccer games. And while we are not perfect by any means, and I would never claim to be so, I am incredibly proud of how well we do those three things. And I am so pleased to tell you all that our staff are completely energized and excited to do those things for this great community. I'll start by talking about what it is to be a great corporate citizen, and that begins with what we do in the community. We support just about every nonprofit organization in this region. We serve on dozens of boards, our staff, and we provide millions of dollars of foundation support to incredible causes in this area, even more when you consider in-kind donations. We have a corporate policy that allows every employee, not just allows, encourages every employee to take either one day off or 1 hour per week of paid time to volunteer at whatever cause matters to them. And in the event that there's not something that speaks to them specifically, we organize events and bring our staff out into the community on a monthly basis to do good. This policy is awesome because it helps us recruit and retain exactly the kinds of people we want working here. You can imagine that for someone for whom that policy isn't exciting, this may not be the perfect place for them to work. I want to go through a couple examples of how we do community work because I think they show one of the key learnings we've made over the last 15, 20 years. And that is that our best ideas, our best programs do not initiate inside Tropicana Field. They come from the outside community and our wonderful partners. First, I'm going to talk about what happened over a decade ago when the Heart Gallery, Ether Youth Services, and a number of other providers came to us to tell us about the challenges children in our foster care system face. And the biggest part was just that life is really tough. They asked if they could have some tickets to give their kids a respite from the day-to-day challenges they faced. Well, at the time, James Shields and her community relations staff said, we can do better than that. And what we did was create a double-wide suite. We painted it with Raymond graphics, we put in a bunch of beanbag chairs, and every single game, we fill it with hot dogs and chicken tenders and either ice cream or cookies or some kind of dessert, and we invite foster kids into our home. Almost every single one of them says, this is the best day of my life, out loud at one point during that experience. And if that was all we did, that would be more than enough. But over the years, we've discovered that, in fact, the Home Run Club is the perfect place for prospective parents to meet with potential adoptees. And that relationship, which sometimes can be awkward and tense, completely eases when the kids are focused on baseball and it's not as challenging a situation. And from that, we've had over half a dozen adoptions take place. Forever families that wouldn't otherwise exist. Thank you. It's one of the truly impressive things that have happened. And again, idea generated from our partner. The other one I want to hit on is going to have a highlight this Saturday, and that's the Saturday Morning Shop. And I want to highlight Lisa Wheeler-Bowman, who's here, Deborah Fix-Sanders, and they introduced us to Renee Edwards, who is a force of nature, if you know her, and had told us that she had rounded up a number of startup businesses in the African-American community that needed a better place to all come together and sell their goods. And so we immediately figured out that Lot 4 was a great spot to do this. We handled the logistics, the porta-potties, the security, the parking, all the things that we know how to do, and let Renee and her team bring the energy and the people that made it happen. It's grown consistently over the last year, and this Saturday we're gonna have record attendance. We're gonna be giving out over 2,300 backpacks to school children in need as the school year approaches. And I'm pleased to say that multiple businesses that grew up in that program, by also having access to the financial counseling and support services that the Saturday Morning Shop provides, have become legitimate brick and mortar businesses going forward. It's a truly incredible program, and one again that we are so proud to support. Moving on, we also occasionally do take some pretty big stances in the community. We're a relatively small family-owned business. We have about 500 employees, but we know that we're highly visible, and we know that we have a platform, and we think very carefully and thoughtfully about how to properly use that platform as an organization. The first thing we did that was pretty significant was back in 2015, which both seems like forever ago and very recently, we came out in support of marriage equality with the Supreme Court. Organizers of the marriage equality movement were seeking any sports team to sign on to this brief, and the Rays were the first team, and one of only three teams that ever signed that brief, the other being the New England Patriots and the San Francisco Giants. That effort, combined with the LGBTQ support that we had consistently been providing over the years around that, put us in a good position in the wake of the Pulse nightclub shooting to host over 40,000 people at Tropicana Field, where we donated 100% of the proceeds from that game to the Victims Fund. That night, when you saw 40,000 people in a full house here wearing Orlando Pride shirts, we sent a message not just to the LGBTQ community locally, but to the country and really the world that Central Florida does not tolerate hatred or bigotry or violence. And it was something people needed to hear. It's one of the things that I know our organization is most proud of. We were also the first organization to publicly come out and say that the Confederate monument on the steps of the Hillsborough County Courthouse had to come down. And following our statements, the chambers got behind it, others became behind it, and ultimately it was removed. Another thing that really mattered to us, and the reason that happened, was our African-American staff came to our leadership and said, this is ridiculous, can you please help? We were proud to do it, and those things, while controversial at the time, have wound up to be forward-thinking, impression, and something that we are deeply proud of. I mention these examples because it is how we think about things. Finally, I want to hit a couple more things. When hurricanes have affected our community, our staff responds in spades. We sent three busloads full of staff up to the Panhandle after Hurricane Michael hit to volunteer, to provide supplies, to work, to help the families there that were struggling so much. They slept on the floor of a gym at Florida State University in the middle of their work. Amazing work. collecting all the supplies, getting it up there, making a real difference. When Maria devastated Puerto Rico, we heard from everyone about all the supplies being gathered throughout Tampa Bay, but nobody could figure out how to get them to the island. Rafael Almador is in the back there, spearheaded our effort to get a plane, charter it, and bring volunteers and supplies to the island, and it was incredible. In addition, through our partnership with the Moffitt Cancer Center, we were able to return precious research samples from the island to the mainland so they could continue to be part of a long-term study program. One other thing I want to note. After George Floyd was murdered, we came out with a strong statement about Black Lives Matter and tried to back it up with action. We established a social justice fund and committed $100,000 per year in perpetuity to supporting racial equity causes in this community. We've given out 12 grants through that program already. We will be doing so each and every year, and we know that it's going to continue to drive this community forward and into becoming a more inclusive and progressive place, which is our goal. This year, many of us woke up the day after the Uvalde shooting. Our staff was no different than I think most people in this room, just devastated by it. And something about that particular shooting resonated in a way that so many of the other mass shootings haven't. I suspect it's the fact that children were involved. All of our staff saying, we've got to do something. We can't just come here and put another baseball game together. And they together came up with the idea that rather than using our social media channels to promote baseball on this day, we were going to, as apolitically and as inclusively as possible, just share some facts about what gun violence is doing to our community and our country. We were able to get the Yankees to jump on board with us, and while I don't like to admit it, their platform may be even larger than ours, and in doing so, put together a really excellent program that brought attention to the issue. These things are not always popular, they are almost never easy, and they aren't even always good for business. But our stances have withstood the test of time, and they frequently reminded our entire country that Tampa Bay is a diverse, inclusive place and where we respect all others. I'm going to move on now to the second piece of that, which is our fan experience. I promise not to take up quite as much time on that, but I do want you to know that we've put over $50 million into this facility since we got here to make it a great place to watch a baseball game. And you will all discover, hopefully in less than an hour, that it is a fantastic place. Our customer service is second to none. Our fan hosts are constantly being praised for the incredible customer service they provide. And in fact, we invented the term and coined it back in 2006 of fan host, one that's really deployed nationwide right now. It's clean, it's safe, it's got the best customer service around, and we are grateful to all the folks who come in, year out. Third point, winning baseball and soccer games. Tampa Bay Rowdies, just for 1 minute, if I can talk about them, back-to-back Eastern Conference champions. We are number two in the table right now, believe in our roster as much as we ever have, and expect to get that championship season locked down this year. Really eager and excited for the rest of their season. And the Rays have been nothing short of incredible since 2008, when we transformed from the Devil Rays to the Rays. That year we went to the World Series, and since then we have won either the third or the fourth most games in all of Major League Baseball. It's hard for me to keep track as it kind of flips around as we go. But thinking that given the resources that we have, playing in the hardest division, in my opinion, in all professional sports, to be putting those kinds of results in and year out is nothing short of incredible. Yay. We are coming up. Thank you. Wait, I have a better applause line. We're coming off three consecutive postseason appearances. We are in position for a fourth right now, despite the struggles that we're facing on the field, despite having, I believe, 17 or 18 guys on the injury report. And we believe that we put a team together that, once healthy in September, is going to be playing those meaningful games we strive to play every single year and is in position to make a whole lot of noise in October. Let's get excited about it. And I'm going to say that I think we may have the best pitcher in all of Major League Baseball in Shane McClanahan. That is a unique asset to be able to deploy in a three-game series, a five-game series, and hopefully seven-game series to come after it. So we remain incredibly optimistic about what this roster can and will do. And so now that I've hit on the three things we try to do to succeed in our mission, let's talk a little bit about making sure that we're here for generations to come. And I think it's important to share a little bit about our history. Back in 2005, when Stuart Sternberg took over as our principal owner, we issued a campaign where we announced that we are under construction. We wanted the whole community to know that it wasn't going to happen overnight. Tampa Bay Devil Rays, a perennial loser, would turn into what the Tampa Bay Rays are now, a perennial winner. We wanted folks to know that there was a lot of work to be done, and part of that conversation was to say Tropicana Field was not going to be a suitable long-term solution for our stadium issues. We went at work in earnest right then, and by 2007 and 2008, we had a plan to build a new stadium at the waterfront at Al Lang, and it was going to be paid for by the development proceeds of what we could do on this site, which I don't know if you've heard, is still under a lot of discussion about development. That plan never materialized. Although the facility was beautiful, it was going to be incredibly unique, and I thought highlight our waterfront, the political will to do it never materialized. And so we moved on. And during that same time period, from 2008 to about 2012, 13, we made the postseason just about every year, went to that World Series, noticed our television ratings going through the roof, and noticed that our attendance was stalling. It was troubling, and it was not what we expected, despite thinking we're decent business folks who are able to predict what things are going to happen. We came to realize at that point that before we could invest in our 30 years plus future in a new ballpark, we needed to be able to look at the entire region. Unfortunately, at least from my standpoint, Mayor Bill Foster at the time wasn't going to entertain that. When Rick Kreisman was elected, one of the first things he did was give us permission to look in the entire region. And we pretty quickly settled on Ybor City as a very central location to build a new ballpark. We unveiled plans for a $900 million dome stadium, went to work in earnest with the county and the city. Groups went together to try to generate corporate support. Season ticket drives were happening. Energy was building. But we weren't able to figure out how to bridge the cost gap. It was a disappointment to us all. And it was the first time that I started to really wonder, how are we going to keep this team here for the long term? The solution we came up with, I will forever believe, was innovative, bold, and would have been great for our game. I know not everybody in this room and this community agrees, but it was to pursue a sister city plan. And the idea was to play half of our games in Montreal and half of our games in Tampa Bay. Doing so allowed us to build a much more inexpensive stadium, that we wouldn't need a roof, and we would need a lower capacity, and to lean on two different corporate bases, two different fan bases for our revenue support. We thought it would make our business more sustainable. We thought it would generate a lot more tourism here than we currently do. And we thought we had some really good ideas around it. We did so and pushed this plan with the blessing of Major League Baseball. Unfortunately, ultimately, the league decided that we were not allowed to pursue that plan, which brings us to where we are today. Here's what I want everyone to understand about today. We remain 100% committed to Tampa Bay. Tampa and St. Pete are both great cities, better than they've ever been as far as I'm concerned, each with so much to offer. We have been building a fan base here for 17, 18 years. That's me, our organization, even longer. This is where our employees live. This is where our families live. This is where our fans live. And this is who we run the team for. We have no interest in going anywhere else. No interest in starting any processes all over. We want to be in Tampa Bay, and we want to honor this incredible fan base with the new ballpark it deserves. That's our goal. The good news is everybody seems to want to work this out. For the first time that I can remember, mayors on both sides of the Bay are asserting that they will put their absolute best foot forward to make sure that the Rays stay in this region. And there's plenty of reason for optimism. Our area is growing as fast as ever, and that includes on the corporate side. Our attendance is improving. We're exceeding projections this year. Champa Bay has become a significant part of our regional identity in a way that is kind of fresh and new. The Rays and Rowdies are a huge part of that, and more people, region-wide, are starting to recognize the value that sports bring to our community. So while the clock continues to tick, we are seeing our elected officials focus in and turn their attention towards finding a solution on either side of the Bay. To be clear, this isn't going to be easy, but recognizing that this area is much better off with the Rays than without is a huge step forward. And working together to figure out the best stadium we can build in a location that bolsters our economy, increases our tax base, catalyzes development, and further cements what a wonderful region Tampa Bay is, well, at least in my opinion, is certainly worth all of our time, effort, and attention. I want to thank you all for being a part of that process, and now I look forward to any questions you may have. Thank you, Jerry.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your positions on speaking out on social issues. I think the word freedom includes free speech. Free speech is a right of corporations. So I am grateful to you that you're not intimidated by certain efforts to suppress free speech, you and Disney. My question here is this location. What would it take to keep the Rays happy in this location?
Thank you for your kind words, and I just want to note that Stuart Sternberg is here, and the reason that we signed up for marriage equality, the reason that we take those stances is he says go and do it, and he takes more of the heat than I do or anyone else, and so just real quick, let's follow him. What it takes is a new ballpark. And again, for the first time in a long time, we are focused. We have a site here in Pinellas County. We have a mayor and a county that are really working together with us. It is inappropriate and for me to get into some of the confidential details of those discussions. But that's all. That's what we need. Tropicana Field, again, a great home, but it is aging. It is, I think, 10 years older than the team. It is either the second or third oldest ballpark, I think, in baseball. And Wrigley Field and Fenway are sort of historical icons that have had tons of money put into them. And so we just need a new site where we can lock up the future for generations. It's been our goal from day one, going back to 2005.
Horace Kurtz, I live a mile door to door, from the front door of my home to the front door of Tropicana. And like a good number of the other people who are in this room today, I went to one of the community conversations that was held by Mayor Kenneth Welch about redevelopment of the gas plant district and that there would be the stadium there. And so we talked about visions like you might get around the ballpark in Boston, Wrigley Field, and how it affected the local community, and everything was on the table except that we didn't talk about the ballpark because it was given in the conversation that there would be a ballpark. So my question is, what is the Rays' vision for the ballpark in the gas plant district?
We have big visions. We want to build something. It will need a roof. You can't get around it. The heat and the lightning are not something that we can work through. We would have over half of our games canceled or postponed if we didn't have a roof. So that's number one. We want it to meld into the surrounding community as well as it possibly can. We believe that if you're gonna try to develop 86 acres, that entire project is gonna work so much better if you have an anchor tenant that's bringing over 1 million people each year, 81 times at a minimum, to the site. And we expect it to be open and available 365 days a year. We've challenged our architects to figure out a design that allows the site to be fully porous. We want you to be able to walk through it in November when the weather's great and throw a frisbee around in the outfield if that's what appeals to you. If you want to sit down in one of our suites, take out your laptop and a cup of coffee and do some work on our Wi-Fi, we want that to be available to you. One of our great frustrations now is we cannot host community events of any small size because it's so expensive just to open up this building. And so we want to make sure that we design with that in mind. And we're having conversations with public officials in particular, but also the community about what do you want out of this facility? I also want to remind people that without it, St. Pete needs something. We're the only place that can host graduations. We did more COVID testing here than anywhere else in Pinellas County. When emergencies come, this is where the police set up their headquarters. We can be the emergency management headquarters that we need.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch that.
I didn't get it either, sorry. It's our new center fielder, Syria. I'm not going to respond to that invitation to talk about the Uhurus, but hopefully that gives you a little bit of our vision. We believe this area is going to be so much stronger with the stadium here in the middle of a development that is built with the community feedback that's coming in right now and with the community focus in mind.
Would you consider selling the team for the right price?
I've heard Stu say before that there is always a price, and that refers to players. So we are not interested. We all love this team. We just signed a pretty good player to a $200 million deal. Again, do you have $5 billion? We can work on this after the conversation.
Ann McMullen with Doyle Private Wealth. So I have two questions. Number one, what can we as your community do to help you? We appreciate you and Stu, what you've done. And number two, what's your time horizon for decision making?
We're moving as quickly as we can. Here in Pinellas County, the mayor's established an RFP process that will have some timelines. We're going to have to follow that. Over on the other side of the bay, we're engaged in conversations on a regular basis. Everyone recognizes that the use agreement expires in 2027. Everyone knows it takes 4 or 5 years to build a stadium, and everyone knows it's 2022. So I've been giving that answer for a few years. We aren't gonna give up until we have to. One of the things that I think is important, though, is that we get this done before the Rays approach what I would call free agency. You know, we don't want this team being pursued by all the other cities that want baseball. We wanna get it done here before those other offers even come in. And now's the time to make sure that happens.
Thank you, Senator.
quick question. If you have the stadium here, what makes you think the attendance is going to be any better than it is now? We had, you know, a World Series team and people didn't come. What are you going to do to improve that?
Well, we're going to design a stadium that's smaller. And one of the things I want to highlight is that when we get 16, 17,000 people here, it's one of the lowest attendances in Major League Baseball, and it's a sellout for the Lightning. And it's also a number that every other event that happens in Pinellas County would kill to have. Our fan base does a pretty good job showing up. We need them to do more. That, the answer to your question is, please come out to games. Come out and enjoy this incredible experience. But we also have a lot of diehard fans, and it's harder to get here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night, all in a row, than it is to show up when the Buccaneers are going to a Super Bowl with a guy named Tom Brady 8 times a year on a Sunday. It's just a different kind of business. So we have to reestablish what is success. I believe that with a new ballpark, we will absolutely have the opportunity to bring in new season ticket holders, bring in new sponsors, and our organization will hold on to them for the long haul. And if we can boost ourselves in a material way, that matters. But that's also why this problem is so hard to solve. It's very difficult, and I tell people, we can't just go with, if you build it, they will come. We need to be realistic about how many fans Tampa Bay can expect to bring to games relative to New York, Chicago, or Atlanta. And we've got to all understand that on the way in and appreciate what we're trying to do. Over 1 million people here, more than I think go to Lightning and Buccaneers games combined. And yet, because we have 81 games spread out, it's a little bit smaller. And because markets like New York get 40,000 people every night, we take a lot of heat. We've just got to sort of revisit the problem, rethink it. And what we know is we're never going to have a $250 million payroll. But God, if we can get 10, 15, 20 million more a year with the baseball operations department that we have, we can make that play, and that's our goal.
The very important part is integrating wherever the stadium is going to be, what is around it, making sure that it jives with becoming, whether it's an entertainment district or something that people visit and want to come to, not just for baseball, but take the baseball and then go visit what else is around it. It'll be Central Avenue. Most importantly, what's on the Trop side, and potentially something in Hillsborough. You can't just stick it out in no man's land, surrounded by, you know, 50 acres of park.
I'm sorry, I know he's not a member, but I'm gonna get him a name for you.
What's your name, sir?
That's Stuart Sternberg, owner of the Tampa Bay Rays and Rowdies.
Is there a goal for that stadium in another city?
Okay, hang on. Okay. That's a different meeting. Okay, let's wrap this up. Mr. Sternberg, will you please come? We're gonna give the mug and the tire to Stu because we want him to be a corporate sponsor. Logistics briefly. The staff is going to take us to our seats. Those of you who want to toast in honor of Dave Zach, who joined us here, his family has joined us right here, his two sons, his daughter-in-law. Thank you, Brian. And I want to tell you this one story about Brian. You know, my wife is in hospice care.
Whoa.
No, not that story. That's the biggest story. My wife is in hospice care, and a dying man wanted to go to a Yankees Rays game with his son. Within 24 hours, we called Brian. We transported the man from hospice care to the game. He watched the game with his son. Within 2 days, he passed away. Brian is constantly building relationships in this town, doing extra in this town, going beyond. I met Brian through Pastor Clarence Williams, who's here today, and I stole Brian away from Pastor Williams because Brian is a good friend, a good person, and our community is better because the Rays are here. If you want a little taste, come up front. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Stu. The staff is going to take you to your seats.
If anybody didn't get anything answered, I'll be sticking around for a little bit.
Tampa Bay Rays President Brian Auld and Principal Owner Stu Sternberg with the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club on Wednesday at Tropicana Field. The Suncoast Tiger Bay Club serves as a civic commons where thought leaders and citizens of all political stripes come together to discuss the pressing issues of our time. Find out more at Tiger Bay.org.